We've been in 2 Peter chapter 1 for a while now, and the first four verses are about salvation. That's God's part. That's what He does. It's the grace and mercy and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And He did it all. Little Johnny that all the jokes are told about, me and little Johnny, come forward one Sunday morning and got saved, and afterwards the preacher's quizzing him. Make sure it was real, see if he understood, see what happened. He asked Johnny, he said, what happened to you, Johnny? Or what all went on, Johnny? He said, well, I did my part and God did His part. He said, well, how'd that go? He said, well, I did the sinning and He did the rest. That's salvation. That's the first four verses. And then starting in verse 5, we've got some sanctification going on. We do have a part after we get saved. Works do not save. They don't even help. You stay saved, they don't get you more saved. But after we get saved, there ought to be a change. There ought to be some things we want to do. We're glad to do. That starts in verse 5 down through verse 15. Sanctification. And Brother Carl's just telling me about those that got saved at camp, how much difference there was in the cabins between Tuesday night and Thursday night. He told me there was a change. He said it's different. Starting in verse 5, let's review about our sanctification here. We looked at it last week. And besides this, giving all diligence. If you remember, that's steady in application and constant in effort. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Getting sanctified now. For if these things be in you and abound, they take you to heaven. No, that's back in verses 1 through 4, before we got saved. This is additions. This is sanctification. If I do all of them or don't do any of them, it doesn't change verse 1 through 4. Doesn't change salvation. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fruit's what we're talking about. And then verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And we talked about that, how sometimes Brother Rick forgets God. Forgets he's been born again, that he's got a brand new family and all that. Sometimes I forget. I know you don't, but sometimes I forget. Therefore, the rather, brother, here's what I need to do now, give diligence. That's steady in application and constant in effort to the things in verse 5, 6, and 7. That's what I need to do. To make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. My problem in verse 9 is I forget. And Peter's telling me to remember verses 5 through 7. And everything that's been written down before that I've been put into a new family now. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. That's one time. Though you know them, we know them, we already read the verses, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's two times. I'm going to remember, so I won't forget. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That's three times. I want to help Brother Rick if he remembers these things. And Peter even had them written down. The Lord had him to write them down. That's why we have 1st and 2nd Peter, the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. So I can remember and refer to them often. And then it continues on in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This second epistle, this letter, beloved, I now write unto you in both Now, the both is, in a little bit in this chapter, is going to be talking about Jesus coming back, the return of Christ. In both, which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. That's four times. And then verse 2, that you may be mindful. That's five times. Mindful of what, Brother Rick? I'm glad you asked. Of the words. Brother Rick needs to be mindful of the words.
Yeah.
He needs to remember the words that Peter wrote down. And then even, he goes on to say what words, which were spoken before by the holy prophets. That would be the Old Testament. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be like the New Testament. See, I need it all. I need to remember it all. I need to be mindful of the words. It's going to help. It's going to help Brother Rick. If it helps me, I'm just guessing it might help you. Might help you somewhere. Okay, that's review. Now, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 16, 2 Peter. And I have this little quote. I've been calling it a catechism. The Catholics make their children learn certain things. They're not poems, they're not scripture, but certain sayings. And they memorize their doctrine. That's what it is. And so, this saying I've been telling you all pretty regular is actually a summary of verse 16 to 21. So let me do a little catechism thing, if you don't care, if you'll humor me. And then I'd like to read verses 16 through 21, and then I might say it again. You tell me if it's a fair summary of these verses. In other words, open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man.
Right.
Let's see if that matches this.
Yeah.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a paraphrase, not another version. It's a summary. That's the reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and they came from God, not from man.
Yeah.
Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I come to tell you this morning, this is not a fable. This is the truth.
Amen.
It's not a fable. A fable is feign or pretend. A fable is fiction. It's made up. A fable is invented by man. A fable is a falsehood. A fable, you know, like evolution. And religions. Religions. There, men have fabricated. And on your hand out there, there's two common fables. Religion, the Pope. Religion following the Pope. Concentration of the Pope. Consecration. They say that the Pope... Now, I'm reading this. I don't believe this. I'm reading. I'm just telling you what they say, what they believe. That he's the vicar of Christ, the anointed of the Lord, lower than God and higher than man, and he judges all and is judged by no one. That's what the Catholics believe about the Pope. They also believe there's one holy Catholic apostolic church, and that outside of that church, outside of their church, there is no salvation or no remission of sins.
Right.
Now, I don't believe that. I'm reading what they believe.
Yeah.
Let's look at a couple of verses about that. Acts 4:12. This is going to be what Brother Rick believes. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than Jesus. This is what it's referring back to in verse 10. And not any church, not the Methodist, not the Baptist, not the Catholic. No church. No church has salvation.
Amen.
In no church. And then let's look at Hebrews 9:22. Slightly. Neither the Presbyterian.
Right.
No church.
Right.
No church.
Right.
Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Brother John sings about it. He said, I'd love to tell you how I got through. It was the blood. That's what he said. The grace and the mercy and the blood.
That's right.
He said. And but that's not what they believe. They believe, quoting again from Catholics, Cassius Boniface, the 8th and 13th, he said, we declare, state, define, and pronounce that it, the church, is altogether necessary to salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Roman Pontifer, the Pope. That's not Bible. That's what they believe. That's
right.
What they believe. We're talking about fables.
Right.
That's how we got over all this. Religion, denominations are fables.
Right.
And so is evolution. Here's some quotes on your handout by evolutionists. And it says here pseudoscience, that's pretend science. It's almost a science.
Yeah.
How about that? It fits in with science, falsely so-called, is what the Bible calls
right.
it. See,
right.
Real science agrees with the Bible.
True.
Real science. You know, before 1850, they did experiments, and those experiments could be repeated, and they wrote down the conclusion that it happened the same way every time, like the law of gravity, or whatever, so to speak. But around 1850, what they started doing is... scientists became armchair philosophers, and they said, what if, or it could have been, or maybe, or I guess it was like this. A theory is a guess, by the way. And here's what one of the evolutionists says, your top one there, Watson, creation will present a parallel to the theory of evolution itself, a theory universally accepted. Not because it can be proved. That's what the evolutionist said. He said it's accepted, not because it can be proved. No. A biological coherent evidence can be true, no. But because the only alternative, special creation, is clearly incredible. In other words, I'm not going to submit to God. I'm not going to say there's a God. And if I don't believe in evolution, I've got to go with creation. That means God's over there. And God's in charge, and he's number one. Another evolutionist here, Keith, he says, evolution is unproved and unprovable.
Yeah.
How come it's in the government-approved school? How come it's even there? It's what an evolutionist says. An evolutionist says evolution is unproved and unprovable. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation. That's unthinkable. That's what the evolutionists said. Here's what Strauss said. One could not assume that man is made over anthropoid ape of any sort, for such of the available evidence is strongly against the assumption. As an evolutionist said, evidence is strong against we came from an ape. And that didn't happen. Huxley said, it's clear that the doctrine of evolution is directly antagonistic to that of creation. Evolution, if consistently accepted and understood, makes it impossible to believe the Bible. They're diametrically opposed. They're opposites. How about this one here? Another Huxley said, I suppose the reason we leap at the Origin of Species Evolution, the book, was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores.
Yeah, think about that.
That's why there's evolution. We're talking about fables. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is not a fable.
That's right.
It's not a fable. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. You can count on it. You can depend on it. You can take it to the bank. You can trust it. You can rely on it. It's got integrity. Every word. Sister Cheryl's been trying to tell us. Every word. Every word. Every word. The Word of God is not a fable. It's not a myth. See, it's true. It's true. The virgin birth is true.
Right.
The immaculate life is true. The miracles are true. That the world couldn't hold the books. Not just the miracles that's written down. The books. The books of it, that we did. The world couldn't hold it. The teaching is true. The atoning death, burial, and resurrection is true. It's true. It's not a fable. The ascension is true. He went back home.
Yeah.
He went back home. The promised return is true. Where we'll get over in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. He's coming back. He's still coming. He's still coming. He's still on the way. He did walk on the water. He did say, peace be still, and the storm stopped. No fables here. He did feed the multitude to the lad's lunch.
Yeah.
It really happened. It did happen. He did cast out evil spirits. He did cleanse lepers. He did make them whole. He did give sight to the blind. He did heal the sick. He did make the lame men walk. He did put Malchus's ear back on after Peter cut it off. It did happen. He did raise from the dead. He did ascend bodily into heaven. Peter was there. He was an eyewitness. He saw it. He's telling right here, he's an eyewitness of the reliable historical documents. It did happen. It unhindered, unequal in power. It was illumination. What we need is some light. Let's go back to verse 16 now. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we make known unto you the power and covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Yeah.
For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice. Remember about obeying the voice?
Yeah.
The hymn from the excellent glory. That's heaven. We've been hearing about glory on the Wednesday night, but glory is also a place, a capital G.
Yeah, yeah.
Capital G, glory. It's another name for heaven. Heaven's a capital H heaven. It's a real place, just like Summersville's a real place, and glory's a real place. And this voice that came from heaven, from the excellent glory, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. See, Peter was there.
Yeah.
He's an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Let's look at it in Matthew 17. This event is called the Mount of Transfiguration. It's just a name we've given. The top of my Bible says the Transfiguration of Christ. He was transfigured before their eyes. Let's just read most of it here. Matthew 17 said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John. See, he's an eyewitness. He's right there. John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Hey, they went camping. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the S-U-E. And his raiment was white as the light, even his clothes glowed. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So So here's resurrection. We're going to know each other. Recognition, I mean. We're going to know each other in the after the resurrection, Brother Brett. Well, they knew these guys. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. You know, every pretty regular I say something. It's not for one. Because I'm not practicing. It's a reason. Not like a half-burned out light bulb, but not real bright. And sometimes, apostles say something. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Well, it would be wonderful to be there. What if God spoke out of the cloud today? Wouldn't that be something to be there? But you see, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. You know, that still goes. That still sticks. It's still around. That's one reason we say if you've been reading the Bible every day, pray every day. I'm supposed to know what it said so I can do it. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias was first come? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood, and he spake unto them of John the Baptist. See, we don't always understand everything up front. Maybe this afternoon he might show you something else and you'll understand it real quick. But let's go back now to 2 Peter 1:19. Again, I want to go ahead and say it would be great to have been there with Peter, James, and John, and the Lord when the voice came from the excellent glory. But verse 19 says, we have also, along with that, a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes.
See, if I'd have been there and told you about it, I might have got it crossed up just like the memory verse. I might not have said it word for word, but God made sure it got written down. So you can have your own personal copy, and so we can refer to it often.
Right.
And know exactly. The Bible says it's more sure. It's more sure than if God spoke from heaven. When you open your Bible in the morning, you need to know that that's more sure than if God spoke from heaven. What it says right here. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light. See, I need more light and more daylight. As unto, I need to stay in the light, walk in the light. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. I want to go ahead and tell you, the world was dark the night before Jesus came. It was a dark place. No hospitals, no social programs. I mean, it was just gore, blood, guts. And I want to go ahead and tell you, it was dark the night before Jesus moved in my heart. I'm thankful for the light. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, for unto you do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. How long are we going to do this, Brother Rick? Until the day dawn and the day star arises in the hearts. Hey, he's still coming. He's still coming back. He's still coming. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's still coming. Light still chases darkness away. The Bible-born hope is the day star. He's still coming. He's coming back. Light. light. Let's look at some verses about that. The great proof of salvation. One great proof of salvation is man can't even come up with this. They can't fabricate this. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, fables, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Not fables. This is not a fable. Our story is not a fable. 2 Corinthians 11. His story. History. The way you spell history is it's his story. He's right in the middle of the cross. 2 Corinthians 11. 13:15. Fables right here. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if these ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This is not our part right here. This is something different. This is fables. The Lord, everything He did was true. His majesty and His glory is a proof of His salvation. Matthew 24:27. Ain't nobody like Him.
That's right.
Matthew 24:27. Even these clothes shine. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, we saw it the other night, Friday night, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the capital S-O-N of man be. It's going to be glorious. He is glorious. His majesty and His glory. It was in the holy mount. It was a holy mount because Jesus was there. That's what made it holy. The Holy One was there. Matthew 17:2. And was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as light. Mark 9:3. He is light. God is light. Mark 9:3. And His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth white. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. Even His clothes were shining and glowing. And then also another proof is the Scripture. We see the eyewitnesses. Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 15. We have more eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of 12, that's 13. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, that's 513 plus, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, the Son of fall asleep. After that, He was seen of James, there's another one, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me, Paul, of whom also, as of one born out of due time, I counted 527 eyewitnesses written down during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. This is not a fable. It's the Word of God. Every word's true. Every word's true. Check out this the light a little bit. Let's look at St. John 1. St. John 1, starting about verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the capital L light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that big L light, but was sent to bear witness of that large light, the Lord. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Yeah.
Then 1 Thessalonians 2:13. See, if the Mount of Transfiguration never happened, we still have the Scripture. We still have the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men or fables, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Back to 2 Peter again. What it says is, we have a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes, amen.
More sure than if God spoke from heaven today, is how sure we're talking about. Let's just look at how sure. 1 Kings 8:56. How sure is it, Brother Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Kings 8:56. I'm trying to be a smart aleck. Just 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. We're talking about God. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all. See, I think that's what Sister Cheryl's been trying to tell us.
Yeah.
According to all that he's promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Not regular old promises that we looked up, but good promises. Promises from God, not from Brother Rick. Good promises. That not there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Psalm 93:5. You can count on it. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can take it to God. You can trust it. Psalm 93:5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Not just sure, not just positive. They're very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Oh, that's what Sister Cheryl's been saying. Daniel 9:12. Read the whole chapter when you get home and you want it all. It all adds together. Verse 12 says, and he hath confirmed his word, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. It's good for the positive and it's good for the negative. Matthew 5:18. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Luke 21:33 and 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And Romans 4:16 is the last verse. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you that we have a more sure word than if you spoke from heaven today and told us about it. Thank you for it. Help me to be mindful of the words. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hear that.